The reading this morning we can find in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark 10, chapter 10, and we will start at verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So far.
Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word this morning and consider what Jesus is doing here in the healing of Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, God's word tells us that these miracles are designed to illustrate a teaching that Jesus has been working through. And that is the case here again this morning. Sometimes we fixate on the miracles and say that's amazing, but we need to recognize the wonder that this miracle illustrates what Jesus has just been teaching in the incidents with his disciples, but also in the incident with the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? He couldn't see the value of God's kingdom. He had forgotten about kingdom economics. We looked at that kingdom accounting that is very difficult. It's impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus warned him that he needed to sell everything and follow Jesus. But he couldn't see the value, and so he didn't follow Jesus. But then there was the disciples as well. Jesus had been engaging with the disciples and James and John, but the other disciples too, they couldn't see the manner of greatness in Christ's kingdom. For them, greatness was a place of power at Jesus' right hand and left hand. But Jesus says, no, greatness It's not about being served, but serving. And so what Jesus is showing is that the Son of Man, which is his divine title, his privileged title, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And from that, we considered the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be a citizen in the kingdom of God? How can we show that? We need to reflect that. But sometimes we aren't able to see. What's the significance of serving in Christ's kingdom? And we're called to see that by faith. Now, just as Jesus had concluded this teaching, they made their way to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, he came across this blind beggar, and he heals him. And Jesus reinforces his teaching. The great king here, the one who's giving his life as a ransom for many, the one who recognizes his place as that of a servant in the kingdom of God, the great king saves the blind. That's what we're considering this morning. The great king saves the blind. As we listen to God's word this morning, there's three points that we need to consider. First of all, the need of Bartimaeus. Secondly, the cry of Bartimaeus. And thirdly, the deliverance of Bartimaeus. So the need, the cry, and the deliverance of Bartimaeus. First of all, his need. He's a beggar. No money, no possessions, no means of support, and he's also blind. He bears the double difficulty in which to try and sustain his life would be extraordinarily difficult. He couldn't see, and he didn't have any support. He's a man in great need, and he lives, or he resides, on the outskirts of Jericho. Now, if you read other gospel accounts, there's some difficulty. Some say that Jesus healed him on the way into Jericho. Some say that, well, Mark says, while he was leaving Jericho. There's a variety of different ways in which that can be reconciled. I think one of the best is that there may be two regions. There's the historic Jericho. Remember, Jericho was that city that was demolished by Joshua when they came into the promised land. That may have been the historic ruins. It was ruined again in the time of Ahab. And then there's a new Jericho, which the Romans had built. And so it could be leaving the historic Jericho and entering the new city. And so one gospel account records entering Jericho, another says leaving Jericho. But I don't think that's the point of the text for us to precisely identify where it is. I think it can be reconciled. It's no reason for contradiction. But it is Jericho nonetheless. And the Romans had built a resort town there. It was called that day the City of Palms. It was a resort town for the Romans, a bit like living in Queenstown. It's the place where the wealthy and those with influence would go. Herod the Great, who reigned at the time of Jesus, had built a winter resort home there so that during the winter when it was cold in his region, he could escape to Jericho and it would be a bit warmer. There were other prominent Roman officials who lived in this city, and so it was a place with people of influence. Remember, from Luke, Zacchaeus also lived there. After the healing of Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. And it's natural that such a wealthy city where there were people with great amounts of money would attract a contingent of beggars. And so it was very wise and prudent of Bartimaeus to stay on the outskirts and there to beg, to try and eke out an existence through the well-being of those who inhabited the city. Not only was it a wealthy city, it was also the doorway to Jerusalem. It was on the main route of travel in which all the pilgrims would travel to Jerusalem. It was kind of the doorway to Judah. And Jesus is traveling with his disciples and a large crowd, and they were going there to celebrate the Passover. And those who would be traveling to Jerusalem would be carrying their spending money. They wouldn't take their sacrifices because, first of all, the animal might not be accepted once they got to Jerusalem. So they would bring money, and so they would have the money, and so it'd be very natural. Bartimaeus hoped that he could gain some extra leftovers from the people who were traveling to Jerusalem. And at the time of the Passover, not only is there this glorious opportunity for a blind beggar, but with Passover as well. Remember, Passover is the celebration of Israel coming out of Egypt. And there's a heightened awareness of the crowds of God's intervention and deliverance. That God worked so powerfully in the Exodus to bring his destitute people out of foreign control. And that's what's going on with Bartimaeus. And we need to recognize that there is this man. And while the Jews are traveling up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover and to go to the temple of God and to offer their sacrifices and to rejoice in God's deliverance, we hear about the character of this blind beggar, and without assistance, Bartimaeus would not be able to afford or find his way to attend the Passover. So here he sits, and he listens to the crowds going by. And he holds out his hand, hoping for some assistance. And yet, he is a destitute man. He's a blind beggar, physically, spiritually, because he can't celebrate anything of God's deliverance. There's a contrast in Luke between Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler. And Bartimaeus is the hinge for that contrast in Luke. But here, contrast the rich young ruler who has everything going for him, the disciples who've been with Jesus and want to see their privileged position in the kingdom of God, and Bartimaeus, who sits outside of Jericho, destitute and in need. And as Jesus with his disciples and the crowds pass by, Bartimaeus hears who it is, and he begins to cry out. When he heard that this was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And it's suggesting that it's not just a one-off. He constantly is crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this cry is an amazing cry. For while his eyes are darkened, the Lord, by His Spirit, has begun to shine the light of the gospel in his heart. And he hears who it is. It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's kind of a put-down. It's Jesus the nobody. But in faith, this man, who is destitute and in need, prompted by the working of the Holy Spirit, cries out, "Jesus," and consider what he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This is a cry of faith, for in it, Bartimaeus recognizes the royalty of Jesus. It's a cry to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Son of David. He doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth, he says Jesus, Son of David. That is his only hope for deliverance. He needs the attention of this king, and his appeal to the king is an appeal for mercy. "Have mercy on me. Look upon me in your favor, and let your heart show the compassion that I know you have." He knows the one to whom he cries, and he will not be deterred. But the many who are around him rebuke him. I say, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Quiet. Why? Because of what he says, Son of David. Son of David is a declaration of kingly position. It's going to attract the attention of the authorities. This is Jericho. This is dangerous territory to ascribe royalty to someone who's not a Roman. Remember the man who built this was Herod the Great? Remember what happened when the wise men came and he heard that there's a rival king who had been born in Bethlehem? He goes and he destroys all the children. For him to wipe out the children in Bethlehem meant nothing. This is how concerned they were that there would be someone else who would rival the throne. And Bartimaeus is on the playground of Roman officials. This is Jericho. Bartimaeus, shut up. We don't want anyone to hear this. Do you realize what you're saying? How do we understand this? We've just sung, God moves in a mysterious way. His purpose will ripen fast. He prompted by the work of his Holy Spirit, he prompted Bartimaeus to say this. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. This crowd, so often moved by unbelief, abuse this revelation of Jesus Christ. They want a king on their terms, not on his terms. And in a few days, there's the triumphal entry, and they're overjoyed to call him king in Jerusalem because that's where he should be king. But not Jericho. In the place of Roman influence? Seems like an unusual place. Don't we have the same difficulty? The desire we have in this country, sadly, keep God out of politics? Have Christ be king in the church? Oh, sure. We can ascribe glory to the king here, celebrate him at Christmas, absolutely. But Lord over the nation? Dare we take that exclusive view? Dare we be so bold as to say Christ is King of New Zealand? We mustn't ignore the sovereign control of God. That is the backdrop and the foundation for this miracle. Our Lord, by operation of the Holy Spirit, quickens the heart of Bartimaeus to declare the coming of the Son of David, the royal king, is approaching the deliverance of his people, and he quickens the heart of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who can see by faith the glorious identity, and that's his cry. And a question that isn't posed in our text, but I think bears asking as we listen to God's word, is who is blind? Who is blind? But those who overlook the authority and the majesty over every aspect of life of our Lord Jesus Christ in church, in home, and in the world. And so let us praise the Lord, for the rule of Christ. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. So there's the need of Bartimaeus, the cry of Bartimaeus. Thirdly, the deliverance of Bartimaeus. Our Lord hears Bartimaeus' request. And he doesn't say, be quiet. Not now, Bartimaeus. This is not the place. This is not the arena of my authority. He says, no, call him. Call him. And Jesus says it beautifully. What do you want me to do for you? Wondrous words, aren't they? It's a picture of prayer. Call him. Bring him to me. I'm interested in this one who's appealing for mercy, who recognizes my authority, who yields to my royalty, and begs for mercy. And Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, and if you're not familiar with the Old Testament teaching about how you relate to those who are downtrodden, as you give a loan to those who are impoverished, you wouldn't catch the wonder of what Bartimaeus does in verse 50, that he throws off his cloak. We take it, well, he just leaves it behind. But his cloak was his security. His cloak, if you loan something to a person who is poor, you couldn't take his cloak, because his cloak was the place of his, it would keep him warm at night. It was a place, a way to show mercy even to those who were destitute. You don't take their cloak and you don't keep it overnight, because that is their privileged possession. It's their security. It's their warmth, their safety. And he leaves it. He leaves it behind. He leaves it behind, his most treasured, valuable possession. He leaves all to go to his king. And the king shows his greatness. The Son of Man, you see, didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And he delivers Bartimaeus by restoring his sight. And he does so with this tremendously powerful teaching. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And we think, oh, tremendous thing. Now he can go to work. Now he can go back home. Now he can go to Jerusalem. Go your way. And what's the way that he goes? And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him. Followed Jesus on the way. This isn't some general faith. This is a saving faith. A very particular kind of faith. When Jesus says your faith has made you well, it's you've come to believe in the authority and the privilege and the presence of the coming of the King. A faith that cried out to the King and clung to Jesus and found in him the source of eternal life, that would not be quieted when the crowds contended with him, but constantly petitioned his Lord. The faith that forsakes all for the kingdom of God. Something that a rich young ruler who loved supposedly the law of God wouldn't forsake everything and follow Christ. But this blind beggar, he did. A faith that was willing to forsake all. A faith that when sight is restored, follows Jesus. And imagine that. What does he get to see? What does he get to see? He gets to see the outworking of the gospel. He gets to see the wonder of this one whom he yielded to as his king. He follows his king, and his king goes to Jerusalem. And yes, he's going to see the Passover, but he's going to see something more significant than the Passover. He's going to see his king crucified for him. Jesus restored his sight, but he could see the sacrifice that was required to deliver him. Oh, the wonder of this king. And blind unbelief is sure to err. We've paused for a moment in our working through Mark. We come back this morning. The reason I wanted to pause is because I knew this miracle was going to happen. And we looked at the various ways in which we need to appreciate, we need to see the kingdom of Christ. We need to serve our King within his kingdom. And we have the character of the rich young ruler, and we have the calling of the disciples and the reality that they don't quite understand the manner of greatness in God's kingdom. And the rich young ruler doesn't really understand the value of the kingdom or the value of the king. What do you see of the king in the kingdom of God? We talked about the kingdom of God in work, and we're serving Christ in our vocation rather than an occupation. We talked about kingdom training and how we need to train ourselves and train our children to obey the Lord. And this is our blessing and our privilege in the promised land. Talked about the need of the heart, that it be a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. And Christ in his kingdom wants us to have hearts that are ready to be written with the Spirit and with his law. And what is our need? What is our need? You see, without yielding to Christ, we're just as blind as the rich young ruler. We're just as blind as the disciples who miss the manner of greatness in the kingdom of God. And if you've struggled, as I've struggled, with trying to yield to Christ in every area of life, this miracle is written for you and for me. Jesus, Son of David, King of kings, and Lord of lords, have mercy on me. Let that be your cry. And the King can deliver. And the King has promised. And the King summons us. What do you want me to do for you? Maybe you've tried to ignore the rule of Christ in your work and in your heart and in your day-to-day activity. And you're struggling in blindness. Rabbi, teacher, let me see. Let me see the kingdom. It's so easily missed. It's so easily overlooked. It's so easily devalued. So easy to pursue a different greatness than greatness in your kingdom. And the king says, I'll let you see. And so follow him. Learn to see what is so great about the King and what is so great about the kingdom of God. And follow him on the way. Because this is a story about a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And this is a story about you and me. Amen.